السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers, sisters listening over receivers, many times you have heard this ayat of the Quran Sharif. Allah Ta'ala has created man and jinn for no other purpose except for his ibadat. But the tafsir has been given of illa liya'budun. وَمَا خَلَقَتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ is liya'rifun, so that we may recognize our Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. We may have ma'rifat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. We will not be able to have true ma'rifat, but at least to some extent we recognize our Creator, and all the other explanation that has been given, but I'm not going into that direction now. Recently, many people, not only locally but from around the globe without exaggeration, whether they are in America, in Australia, in England, or even in India, Pakistan, many people are writing, they're telephoning or they're SMSing, and they're saying that we are feeling spiritually low, spiritually low. Sometimes we don't feel like making ibadat, we don't feel like making zikr and tilawat, we don't feel like making namaz, we don't even feel like making wuzu and ghusl. Many different kinds of complaints. So not very long ago, in this little office that we have here, one brother asked the same question. An informal majlis took place where we discussed this issue. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala reward those people who transcribed it from the tape. And after editing, inshallah, it will be published. But just for the benefit of those who are listening now, or when these tapes are played over radio stations, so the people that listen, what I explained to the brother there was that in this path of suluk, the person is threading this path, he wants to get a connection with Allah Ta'ala and his Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He wants to get a nisbat ma'Allah and nisbat with Rasul Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So there will be two conditions that will befall this person. There will be always two conditions. Either the conditions will be that of which we term in tasawwuf or suluk, in common man's language, layman's language, as qabz or must. Now, just to give you very, very simply what it means is this, that sometimes the person will find that he is on a spiritual high. He is looking forward to making salat, he is looking forward to reading the Quran Sharif, he is looking forward to making zikrullah, he is looking forward to going and caring for some needy, some poor, some destitute, or he is in search of good deeds and good actions. He just wants to do something that is good. And he's experiencing a kind of joy and happiness in it. There is what we term in his heart as a kind of an expansion, a kind of joy, a kind of ecstasy. The person is not finding it difficult, so we'll say that is bust. And that happens when the person, over a period of time, he continuously engages in ibadat. And continuous engagement in ibadat does not mean that he takes tasbih and sit down in the masjid the whole day, or he makes tilawat of the Quran Sharif the whole day, or he makes zikrullah the whole day. It does not mean that. Continuous ibadat means that he fulfills the commands of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in the manner that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and his Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam have ordered, and they are pleased with. Now that is continuous ibadat. That sometimes he's in namaz, sometimes he's earning halal livelihood, sometimes he's taking his child to the doctors, he's taking the wife to the doctor, Sometimes the person is going and massaging the head of his mother and father who are old and elderly. Sometimes he's taking care of the poor and the needy. Sometimes he's going to some nikah program. Sometimes he's going to a walima. Sometimes the person is in some dini activity. All these things are part of deen. In other words, whichever aspect of life the person engages in, it is in accordance with the Quran and Sunnah. So then that is ibadat. And the person is restraining himself, and that is where the real ibadat is. That just as there's positive ibadat, then the negative one is also important, it's far more important. And the negative is this, that the person stays away from the haram. We all know about electricity, we need positive wire and negative wire to generate electricity, for the light to be switched on. So like that, you need both those wires. So that restraining of haram is also a great ibadat. Now when the person is on the one hand restraining himself from haram, and on the other hand is fulfilling the commands of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala with regards to those things that have to be done, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives him a kind of kayfiyat in his heart, a kind of expansion, a kind of happiness, a kind of joy, and he looks forward to doing more. So we'll say one state is that state. And the other state is where the person finds himself dejected, he finds himself like rejected, he seems as if he is totally depressed, there's no motivation to do anything. The person gets up, but now he doesn't want to even get up and make wuzu and make namaz. It's like a burden for him to even make that 2 rakat fajr namaz. When he picks up the Quran Sharif, then he just reads a few ayat and verses, and something overcomes him and he feels that he cannot continue. He wants to take the Quran Sharif and keep it. The person picks up the tasbih to read, he takes the name of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala a few times and finishes. That's the end of it. And yet at one time he was reading there quite a few tasbihat. So when this state comes, generally the person becomes depressed and he believes that now my Allah ta'ala is very angry with me and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has rejected me. I'm talking about the pious one, the righteous one. So he feels Allah Ta'ala has rejected me. Allah Ta'ala has turned away his glance of mercy from me. And for a person who is a salik, the most difficult thing for him is to endure the anger and the wrath of Allah Ta'ala. He cannot bear it, because if he believes that my Allah is angry with me, then there is qiyamah for him. It's worse than Jahannam for him. Therefore Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam dua, Allahumma inni as'aluka ridhaka wal jannah wa a'udhu bika min sakhatika wan nar. First Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asks for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's raza and pleasure. Then he says jannat. Oh Allah, give me your pleasure and your happiness and give me jannat. And oh Allah, protect me from your ghazab and your anger, and then protect me from the fire of jahannam. Meaning the happiness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is greater than all the ni'mats of jannat. And the anger and the displeasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is worse than the fire of hell. The person who has got Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's anger focused on him, then that's worse than hell. That person's heart can never ever enjoy any kind of sukoon. So sometimes this person who is pious, he is righteous, he is doing everything right, but when he experiences this state of what we term as qabz, so then he gets a bit dejected. He feels very, very sad that my Allah Ta'ala has become angry. Whereas Allah Ta'ala is not angry. It is his tarbiyah that is being made. When you make tarbiyah, then you take the person through different routes. When those people are given training in the military, in the army, then look at the type of difficulties they have to endure. In the training, they are made to run through the jungles and forests and with all the baggage on their backs, and sometimes go without food, and all those kinds of things are done. Then they become experts in that field, and sometimes they are given everything of the best. So I explained to him that there is nothing to be disappointed as long as the person is not disobeying Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. If he is experiencing this spiritual law because of that, so then definitely it is cause for concern. But before we come to that detail, so I had to explain to him that these are the two conditions. Either he will go through this or he will go through that. So sometimes the salik, these conditions are typical states that overcome the heart and should thus be expected. There will be times that the salik experiences a spiritual high, more a state of spiritual ecstasy, where he is overcome by fervor and strong emotions of love for Allah Ta'ala. In this state there is immense enjoyment in ibadah, in his salah, in his tilawat, in his zikrullah. The person does not want to be occupied with any other work except to be occupied with Allah Ta'ala and continue to enjoy his communion with him. So this is one state which we term as bast. Then there are times when the salik seems to plummet from that high to such a spiritual low, such a spiritual depression, that he does not want to do anything. He finds that he has to now force himself to carry on, as I just explained to you now. So explaining these two conditions to the brother, then I said that what must we then do? So to begin with, don't give too much attention to these different states. The person must not give too much attention. As long as he is fulfilling the commands of Allah Ta'ala, then he must go ahead. Of course, this does not mean that we give up salah simply because we don't feel like performing salah, or we don't make any effort in reciting the Quran Sharif because our enthusiasm seems to have waned, or we just abandon zikrullah because there is no taste and enjoyment found in it. Doesn't mean that if the person is not enjoying namaz, so now he gives up namaz. He is not enjoying tilawat, so why must I make tilawat? A person asked, he said that I am not getting enjoyment in tilawat, so how must I get the enjoyment in tilawat? So he was told that increase your tilawat of the Quran Sharif and you will get enjoyment. Without doing it, how are you going to get enjoyment? The person must increase it and he will get enjoyment. Like somebody asked yesterday, he said, if the thought comes into the mind of pride, pride comes into the heart. The person thinks that I am somebody and I am worthy of being respected. I should be given a high pedestal to sit on, and I should be the one that should be greeted first, and I have got authority, and I have got this and I have got that. So now if this person has got all those weaknesses and pride is coming into his heart, so how can he change that thinking? He says, how can we change that thinking? I said, you must change that thinking. He said, how must you change that thinking? I said, you must change that thinking by thinking again. How else can you change it? You must change it by thinking again. It is that same thinking that will change that thinking. That first position that you adopted of pride, how did it come? It came by thoughts. When the person thinks that I am somebody, I've got a lot of wealth, so therefore I should be respected, I should be honored. I've got a lot of knowledge, so therefore the person must greet me first. Why should I greet him? I've got this position and this authority. Now all that was thoughts in the mind. It was thoughts that made him proud. So now how must he change it? He must change it by thoughts again. That he must think that what are all these achievements of mine attributed to? Who is the one that gave me the wealth? Who is the one that gave me the intelligence, gave me the knowledge? Who is the one that gave me this authority, gave me this position, made me a minister, made me a cabinet member, made me a prime minister, made me a president, made me a king, made me a manager, made me a director of some company, or doctor, or lawyer, or philosopher, or scientist? Who is it? It is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. It's not in our control. The person gets a stroke and everything is gone. One accident and everything is gone. One shake up of the earth and all the wealth is gone. Some revolution and everything is gone. Look at the people in Burma. Typical example those days when the revolution took place. And after that in so many countries also it took place. So many, we know what happened in Iraq and what happened in other parts of the world. But this Burma incident I can't forget, because at that time we were in India. And there were students from Burma who were studying with us. And they were all stranded. They couldn't go back to the country. But in that revolution, people who were multimillionaires and billionaires, in the afternoon the soldiers came, took over the business houses and said, you must take a few hundred rupees and get away to India if you wish to. Everything now belongs to us. And if you want to remain here, you work for us. Finish. And people who were living lives of luxury, very high standard, in one walima and nikah where they used to have so much of wastage, the person from there was telling me. But everything was suddenly gone. So much so the announcement was made that if you are caught with those rupees which you hoarded under the mattresses and in the cupboards and didn't pay taxes and all those things, then you will go into prison. Now all those people who had stacks and stacks of notes, they couldn't get out of it. They couldn't take the money out. They couldn't do anything. So this business person who had a very, very big business there, he tells me, he says, Maulana, at night we took the match and put onto our notes. All those wad of notes, he said, we had to burn them up. Instead of going to prison, we rather burn those notes up. Because every house was being searched. Now that is what happened. So who is it that gives wealth? Who is it who gives health? Everything is the blessing of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And I think I mentioned it that Hazrat Maulana Abul Hasan Ali Nazwi Rahmatullah Ali, when he visited Burma 10 years before the revolution, then he made an announcement which was indeed an announcement of a Waliullah. He had kashf. We don't say that's ilmi ghaib, it's kashf. So he said that if I have to see a woman that is pregnant and then say that soon this woman will give birth to a child, then I'm not claiming that I'm a Nabi of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Does it need a Nabi to say that this woman is going to give birth to a child? If a woman goes to a gynecologist and he checks and says you've got a child and already 8 months, 9 months or whatever it is, it doesn't mean that if he says you'll soon give birth on certain date, you expect it to give birth, so that gynecologist has become a Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. He's seeing the signs there and he's saying it. He says, if I have to look at the clouds and then tell you that it is going to rain, then it doesn't mean that I'm claiming to be a Nabi of Allah Ta'ala and giving you some kind of prediction. I'm looking at the clouds and I'm telling you it's going to rain. So he says, Allah Ta'ala forgive me, but what I'm seeing, the condition of the Muslims here in this country, he says, if you do not bring about a change, then it's 10 years. It seems as if in 10 years time there's going to be a revolution. And everybody is a witness to that, that exactly 10 years later that revolution took place. So like that, we too have to see the signs in our homes, in our country, in our society. Look at the kind of claims that people are making. Look at how people are making a mockery of deen, of religion. How people are just committing sins as if Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala does not exist. As if we have the freedom to do whatever we wish to do. Look at the rejection of the sunnahs of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. If the person is not practicing, it is a different thing. But look at the mockery and ridicule of the sunnahs of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Look at how people are finding justification for sins from the ayat of the Quran Sharif. One is the person is engaging in some sin, and then he is recognizing that sin as a sin, and he is making tawbah and istighfar, and he is saying, oh Allah, I am extremely weak servant of yours. I can't seem to get out of this sin of mine. Assist me and help me. Then we say there is hope that this person will come out of it. Well, the person who is engaging in adultery, in fornication, in listening to music, and in all the kinds of shows that are taking place, and in the name of deen and in the name of Islam, all the things that are happening with an Islamic label and Islamic title, hip-hops and jazz and everything Islamic now. Beer also Islamic beer. Interest becomes profit and dividend and so many other things. So finding justification, looking at ayat of the Quran Sharif, people are making research. They say we are making research. And their research, then they come to conclusions. And some of them, their conclusions are such. I was replying to one letter yesterday. The conclusion after research that girl made, her conclusion is Allah Ta'ala does not exist. Now that was her research. A Muslim girl made a research. I will read that letter to you inshallah, son, without mentioning any names. So what I am saying is this, that justification. Then everything that is happening, which although this person considers it to be haram and sinful, but in the heart there is no rejection of that haram. Lots of things we will consider that it is haram, but there is no real rejection in our hearts. A person is not committing zina, but when he hears about zina, when he reads about the zina that people engage in, and when he watches the pictures of zina, then in his heart also this person has got some kind of desire that if I was not a Muslim, or if I didn't have this kind of beard and kurta and topi and burqa and niqab if the woman didn't have, if I was not recognized as a person in the masjid in first saf and second saf, if I was not in some tabligh jamaat and some khanqa movement or something of that nature, then I too would have had the freedom to go and engage in all those. Na'uzu billahi min zalik. So now that shows that there's no real rejection in the heart. The person is talking bad about it, but in his heart, everyone can check his own heart. Because they're replying to letters all the time. And I appreciate, and in fact I sympathize with those people. There must be love and compassion in the heart of the shaykh for the person who says, these are my weaknesses. At least that person is honest and truthful and he wants to get out of it. So we don't look down upon that person. But I'm talking about those people who are justifying it. So now when the person does not have rejection in his heart for those sins, for those vices and for those evils, so then we have to be very, very concerned that we must not face those same kind of problems that people in other countries faced. I always say that in South Africa it is the charities that our Muslim community gives, charities, sadaqat. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala with the barakat of that has kept us still salamat here. Otherwise our actions are no better. We just have to look around and we can see. So he's with his kashf said that 10 years time I expect this, and it happened. May Allah ta'ala protect us and protect the ummah around the globe. So even if this be the condition, we still have to go on. This too is part of our journey. That means if you are enjoying the ibadah, zikr, tilawat, then too you go on. And if you're not enjoying it, then too you go on. You don't put a stop. Never mind if you get no enjoyment at all. Shaitan and nafs is saying, but you're not enjoying salat, why must you make it? So I am not making salat for enjoyment. I'm making it so because it's a hukam of my Allah. That's all. We have to back answer shaitan and nafs as if we are talking to our nafs and shaitan. We have to say that I am not making namaz, zikr, tilawat just so that I get enjoyment. That means if there was no enjoyment, then I will say, Ya Allah, I am not prepared to fulfill your hukam because I am not getting enjoyment. Will that be correct? So you have to, the person is getting up for fajr, is finding it very difficult and is finding himself lazy to get out of bed. So now he mustn't get disappointed and think, now I can't get up, what must I do? But I'm lazy, or I'm not enjoying getting out of bed and making wuzu and making salat. He must still get up, make that mujahada, go against the nafs and make that salat. He'll get double reward inshallah, because now he's doing it to fulfill the hukam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and for the pleasure of Allah ta'ala he's doing it. He's not listening to his nafs. Like I think I mentioned that incident that in America in one masjid, one alim was giving bayan, and practically all those people that were there were in tight jeans and shirts, and most of them without hats, and they were finding it very difficult even to make ruku and sajda. So somebody asked, he said, Hazrat, ye log jo is tarah ke libas mein namaz padte hai, kya fatwa hai? Person that's wearing tight jeans and making salat, what is the fatwa? Now that was not the occasion to ask for that fatwa. Those were young students of a university that was just nearby. He was trying to embarrass those students there. There is a place for everything. He could have told the Maulana beforehand that this is a weakness here, so you must try and bring it in the bayan. That when these people go into sajda, is not appropriate in such kind of very tight clothing. But he asked in front of everybody. So the Maulana was very wise. So So he said, in logo ko double sawab milega. So now they got, he said, Hazrat, how can they get double sawab? So he kept quiet. Afterwards he told him, he said, Hazrat, aapne kaha ke these people, how can they get double sawab? So he said, isliye ke inko ruku sajde mein bahut takleef hoti hai. They find it very difficult going into ruku and sajda in that kind of tight jeans. So that's why they will get double sawab. And then he explained to him why this was not the place. Now afterwards, if you tell them nicely, they will understand. So he's saying, for double sawab. So now this person who can't get up for Fajr Salat, but he still gets up. So inshallah, he'll get double sawab. Because at least he's making it. Just as the journeys of the material world inevitably entail some kind of difficulty or a few hiccups, so too in this journey through spiritual realms to achieve proximity to Allah Ta'ala, there will be no doubt various experiences to test our mettle, our sincerity, our commitment, our strength, and the trueness of our claim of love for Allah Ta'ala. It doesn't come so easy, but at the same time it is not an impossible thing. These are tests that Allah Ta'ala puts the salik through. To test his mettle. In everything there's a test. Why do they have examinations at the universities, at the colleges, at the darul ulooms? Everywhere there's examination. Sometimes the teacher in class knows the pupil very well. If there is an ustad and he is doing hifz of the Quran Sharif, and that student he knows can read 5 paras of the Quran Sharif without a mistake in one sitting, or 20 paras or the whole Quran Sharif. But then too they say at the end of the year there must be an examination. The principal will say there must be examination. So why is there examination? To show that look the quality of this pupil of mine. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala also puts through that examination. The Sahaba-i Kiram radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajmain were put through that examination, those tests and trials, to show that these are true rijal. رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَإِقَامِ الصَّلَاةِ وَإِيتَاءِ الزَّكَاةِ يَخَافُونَ يَوْمًا تَتَقَلَّبُ فِيهِ الْقُلُوبُ وَالْأَبْصَارُ. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala wants to show that these were my true servants. Their tijarat and everything never affected them. They never diverted from my remembrance. And under most difficult and trying conditions also, see how steadfast they remain. 70 of them gave their lives in the battle of Uhud, but they didn't give up their Islam and Iman. Look at their steadfastness. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is showing to the world that these are the companions of my Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Look at what kind of sacrifices and qurbani they made. Wherever Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasallam sweat and perspiration fell, they were prepared to give their lives and shed their blood for Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasallam's deen and cause. So this is a world of tests and trials and examinations. So if this person is finding it difficult to make namaz, to make zikr, tilawat, ibadah, it doesn't mean he must give it up. He must continue. This is a state, as we said, of qabz. Now to come out of it, the person must continue. And he must back answer shaitan and nafs. If it says that you seem to be very weak, say, yes, indeed I am weak. But I am not doing it for enjoyment. If enjoyment comes, it's a bonus. I am doing it because the hukam of my Allah Ta'ala, and I will fulfill the hukam at any cost. Even if my life goes, but I want to fulfill the hukam of Allah and make my namaz. And if you see nobody around, then you can even say it little loudly. Then you're back answering shaitan and nafs. But first check around that there's nobody. Because just now you start talking like that, then they might rush you to the nearest asylum. There's something wrong with this person's head. But that's how you have to answer shaitan. In the heart and mind. And get up. And then I explained to this brother that if you are going to Cape Town, then there are 2 routes that you can take. One is through the Keru. And the other one you go through the Garden Route. So now those 2 routes, besides the other routes that are there, generally these 2 routes. Now if you are going through the Keru, it is dry, barren land. You see nothing but miles and miles of desert land. And it offers little by way of enjoyment and pleasure to the heart. Does it give any pleasure to see all those miles and miles of barren land? And especially in summer, if you have to travel that route, you just want to get out from there as quickly as possible. It's so dry and there's nothing of enjoyment there. But now the person's destination is not the Keru. His destination is Cape Town. So this person will not stop there or turn around and come back home. He says that the dry land there, so why must I go further now? Come back home. So if he does that, he'll never reach there. What he will do is he will drive on. And those little difficulties along the road, if he has to go outside and he gets the heat and or cold, whatever it is at that time. So he will say, well, this is en route. And en route, you get some kind of difficulty and hardship, but I must just carry on. Now, if he carries on, then he will come to the garden route. Now, when he comes to the garden route, he will enjoy the scenery, he will enjoy the beautiful view of the lakes and rivers and flowers and trees and bridges and everything that is there on the garden route. Now he'll get all that enjoyment. But the person with a little bit of aqal, there too he will take some kind of enjoyment from the beautiful scenery, from the trees and from the rivers and the lakes and the flowers and everything that is there. He will take some enjoyment. He may stop for a little while and breathe in the fresh air and absorb what he is seeing with his eyes. Now, all that is en route. But again he will say that this is not my destination. My destination is Cape Town. So the person, after filling up some petrol and after putting some petrol in his stomach also, then he will carry on again. He will proceed. So that's the aqalman person. So he's not going to give up just because he doesn't enjoy the Keru, and he doesn't stop when he comes to the garden route. So like that, when the person is in a kayfiyat of qabz, then at that time he doesn't give up. And when the person is enjoying the state of bast, then at that time the person doesn't say that I'm getting kayfiyat, I'm getting enjoyment in my heart, so therefore now this was my goal and this was my maqsad. That is not his goal. That is just temporary. After that he's got to go to the qabr and he's got to go to the hereafter, and he wants to reach Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He wants to see Allah ta'ala in Jannat. There's no other place he can see Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala with his naked eyes except in Jannat. 1001 times now you must have heard. Unke rukh se niqaba jutegi, aaj nazron ki miraj hogi. Unke rukh se niqaba jutegi, aaj nazron ki miraj hogi. Ek muddat se aaj ahle gham ko muskurane ki mohlat milegi. For whom are we making zikr, tilawat, ibadat, namaz, sadaqat? For whom? For Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So what kind of a mu'min that will be, who says that he's making salat for Allah ta'ala, but he doesn't want to see Allah ta'ala? Say, why did you get up for tahajjud? He said, for Allah ta'ala's pleasure. He said, don't you want to see Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? I said, no, that's sufficient. Can any lover be like that? So the only place that the person can see Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will be in Jannat. From Allah ta'ala's countenance, that veil will be removed. Just as we stand on the ground and see the 14th moon, that's how we are going to see the Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, inshallah. So that is our goal, that is our objective, that is where we want to reach. So en route, sometime it is qabz, sometime it is bast. So in this path that we take to Allah Ta'ala, we too must neither stop here nor there. When in spiritual elation and bliss, we must understand that this is not the achievement. This is not the goal and objective. Kayfiyat are not the end results, rather the beautiful scenery along the garden route. The maqsad is the pleasure of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. The objective is the pleasure of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. If the person's aim and intention is enjoyment and his condition is that if I get enjoyment, then only I will make zikrullah or perform salah or recite the Quran Sharif, then the person is an ashiq of kayfiyat. He is not an ashiq of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Understand this. That if the person says that I will only make tilawat if I get enjoyment, I will only make salat if I get enjoyment. So this person is not a true lover of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He's a lover of that enjoyment. He's a lover of that enjoyment, that kayfiyat that he is getting. That means if he doesn't get kayfiyat, that means he's not going to do it. If a person enjoyed some kayfiyat in zikr tilawat and he feels that he must have attained a very high spiritual state, and as such it does not matter what sins he engages in, it does not matter that he returns to the same evil habit of casting lustful gazes and indulging in other deeds which Allah Ta'ala is displeased with, then that enjoyment and pleasure will be snatched away. Now sometimes, as I said, that the person is pious, is righteous, and is doing all the right things, but for some period of time he gets no enjoyment. So then he must carry on, he must increase the ibadat, he must continue. And once again Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will remove those veils and he will start getting that same enjoyment inshallah. But the other person now we are talking about is whose kayfiyat and enjoyment was not as a test, it was snatched away because of his engagement in sins, vices and evils. Especially the sins of the eyes. The eyes, the sins that it commits, it takes away the happiness and the surur and the kayfiyat from the heart. It brings darkness, total darkness. The person's whole qibla gets changed altogether. The person's heart does not even remain there. He says the heart is stolen after that. They say, she stole my heart. Finish. So if somebody steals something, can it still be there too? If somebody stole 1 Kruger coin and went away from the house, so it's gone, finish, it's no more there. So like that, if they say the heart is stolen, so it's no more there. So where will Allah Ta'ala's muhabbat then come? Where will the kayfiyat then come? You need a runway at the airport to land the aeroplane. That is why when they overtake a country, the first thing they want to do is bombard the airport, so that no aeroplanes can land. If there's no runway, the way is going to land. The huge planes have to have a longer runway. So now here the person wants Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's muhabbat to come into his heart. So there has to be a runway for that. Now in that heart, if that heart is already stolen and is gone somewhere, is gone to the rave club, disco, cinema, theatre, prostitute quarters, escort agencies and all the other haram, then where will Allah ta'ala's muhabbat come? Allah ta'ala's muhabbat will only come into the heart that is purified. That example again of Shah Abdul Ghani Sahib Rahmatullahi says that if the person in his heart, if in his home, if the person says that he's getting a very important guest, the president of the country is coming, the king is coming, or some very great alim and mufti sahib is coming, or the imam of the haram is coming, so the way he's going to be putting up is in my house. So mashallah, very nice. Now when the imam of the haram comes, or that important guest comes, so now I'm just giving explanation, detailed explanation. So now he puts him up in one. He says, where am I going to sleep for tonight? So he opens up one room. He says, going to sleep here. Now who's in that room? Or what's in that room? In that room is dead dogs, dead cats, rats, monkeys and donkeys. Or corpses there. Dead people's bodies there. Even if there's not more than one, just one. If only there's one dead rat there too. On the bed. You think that Imam of the Haram Sharif will sleep there, or any dignified guest will sleep there? And what if there's dead dogs and cats and everything there? Then the person will never ever enter that house. They say, you expect me to come into this kind of a dirty, filthy house? So that heart of ours, which has got so much of dead bodies inside there, and dead donkeys and monkeys and dogs and pigs inside there. Because the love of all these things which are totally haram is just like that. The love of prostitutes and the love of watching the porn sites and the love of watching the haram on the TV screens and the love of reading those filthy magazines and the love of all the other haram that people engage in, the drink and wine and illicit women. Now all that is that same dead donkeys and dead monkeys and dead rats and cats that are in our hearts. And then we say, Ya Allah, come into my heart. Sunu me naam tera dhadkano me, maza a jaye maula dil badal de. So now will Allah Ta'ala come into such a heart? So we have to make an effort to purify that heart. Now how are we going to purify the heart? Again the same thing. Turn again to that same Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Express great remorse, regret, shame, nadamat. Mera har khata pe rona, yehi hai meri talafi. Mera har khata pe rona, yehi hai meri talafi. Teri rahmato ka sadqa, mera jurm afu karna. Oh Allah, what else do I have except my crying over my sins? That is the only thing that I can do before you, my beloved Allah. And then the person makes an effort in that direction to, if he's crying over his sins, so then can he just cry and immediately go back to the same sin? What must he do? Now he cried over those sins, so now he must give up those sins. Make an effort in that direction. Accidental sins, again make tawbah. But just because the person had his car repaired by a panel beater, all the dents were removed, and the panel beater is a good friend and is next door, so the person doesn't keep smashing his car. Now purposely if the person is going to do, then he is going to be facing disaster. Allah Ta'ala will bring humiliation, embarrassment, disgrace. But accidentally if he committed and he made sincere tawbah, Allah Ta'ala will give him izzat. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will conceal that sin of his. So mera har khata pe rona. Don't justify our mistakes and our weaknesses and our shortcomings. Say, indeed my beloved Allah, it is a wrong that I am engaging in. The person who is shaving his beard when he is looking into the mirror and he is shaving, at that time he say, Ya Allah, what nalayak I am. What a foolish person I am. And what a sinful person I am. This face of mine which you gave, and I'm taking off the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and it is going to go down the drain. And on the day of Qiyamah, how am I going to face my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasalam? So give me the himmat and the courage to keep the beard. Keep making tawbah, tawbah, tawbah. Allah Ta'ala will give the tawfiq. So that at least on the day of Qiyamah, if the person has got the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in his life, then he can say, Tere mehboob ki ya rab shabahat leke aaya hoon. Tere mehboob ki ya rab shabahat leke aaya hoon. Haqeeqat is puto kar de me surat leke aaya hoon. Oh, what else do we have except surat, surat? The surat is also important. The outward is important. Without the outward, also the person doesn't get najat. The pigeon has to have wings to fly. The bird has to have wings to fly. The aeroplane has to have those tires also to take off, although it may be just little tires that are on the outside. You can have the best engine, you can have everything, but if the aeroplane is sitting on its stomach on the ground, how is it going to take off? So the outward is also important. And that is so common that whoever is going to look for a bride for himself, just tell them that her face is badly smashed and her appearance is very, very ugly. The only thing, she's got a good heart. See how many people are ready to marry that woman. Why do we look for the outward appearance there? So even in this, our appearance is also important. But everything has got to do with the heart. And I explained this, that it can happen, it's possible, that the person whose outward the person whose outward is good, but it is possible, and in fact in most cases like us, the inside can be very, very bad. The person's outward is that of a very pious person, but inside the heart there's malice, there's greed, there's pride, there's arrogance, there's jealousy, there's envy, and there's passions and evil desires, everything. So the outward can be very good, but the inside can be very bad. But it can never happen that the person's heart is in an excellent condition, spiritually, but his outward is bad. It can never happen. If the person's heart is spiritually sound, iman, yaqeen, tawakkul, zuhud, qanaat, shukr and sabr, and everything is there solid, then can the person's outward be bad? Can that person then after that flout the laws of Islam and Sharia outwardly? How can they be? There'll be contradiction, because if the heart is right, then the actions from the hand, the actions from the feet and the actions from the eyes and everything will be right. So therefore the purpose of all these majalis is islah of nafs. Inshallah, if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives tawfiq, I thought I would go a little further, but that's how it happens. But for the salik who gets sometimes trapped in this kind of weakness, that there's no kafiyat, so then why must I do anything? So it's a response to that, it's a reply to that. Inshallah, if Allah Ta'ala gives life, health, and the tawfiq to continue, then we'll continue with this next week, Monday, inshallah. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Ya Rahim, Ya Kareem, Ya Sattar, Aloyu, Ghaffar, Azzamun. Ey mere Rabbe Kareem, O my beloved Allah, my Rahim Allah, my Kareem Allah, most forgiving Allah, most compassionate, loving, caring Allah. We are extremely sinful servants of yours. Day and night we disobey you. We use your bounties, your ni'mats, your gifts for your disobedience. میرے مولا ہم گنہ گار ہے سیاہ کار ہے بدکار ہے مجرم اور خطا کار ہے سب کچھ ہے بندے مگر تیرے تجھے چھوڑ کے ہم گندے جائے کہاں تیرے سوا ہمارا کوئی سہارا نہیں تیرے سوا کوئی ہمارا نہیں there is no one for us besides you my beloved Allah we are ashamed of the sins that we have committed in our lives from the time we became of age up till now Forgive our major sins and minor sins, sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly, in the light of day or darkness of nights. Forgive the sins of our eyes, of our ears, of our tongues, our hands and feet, our heart and mind. Forgive us, our parents, our wives and children, our brothers and sisters, our family members, and the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My beloved Allah, my Rahim Allah, don't snatch away the bounties because of our sins. Don't turn away your glance of forgiveness and mercy from us because of our sins. We have no other door that we can tap. There is no one besides you that we can turn towards. Bless us with barakat in our businesses, in our homes, in our lives, in our time. Ya Allah, those who are sick and ailing, give them complete shifa. Those who are weak, give them strength. Those who are in financial difficulties, bless them with plentiful of halal rizq and remove the difficulties. Those who have no children, bless them with pious children. Those who have children, Ya Allah, make them nek, salih, obedient to you, your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, unko nek bana de, salih bana de, deen ki khidmat karne wale bana de, hamari aankho ki tandak bana de. Ya Allah, bless us with the best of dunya, the best of akhirat. Jab hamara marne ka waqt aaye, then take us to Madina Tayyibah. Bless us with shahadat in Madina Tayyibah. Bless us with burial in Baqi. Ya Allah, we know we are not deserving, but we are seeking from you because you are Rabbe Kareem. Ya Allah, don't let the angel of death find us in a disco, cinema, theater, or any kind of haram action. Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all his life he made duas for us. Ya Allah, bless us with all the goodness that he asked for us. Bless the ummah with that goodness. And from all the mischief, corruption and fitna that he asked for protection, protect us and the ummat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jitne bhi deeni kaam ho rahe, sab ko qubool farma. Tabligh o daawat ki mehnat qubool farma. Masajid, madaris, khanqao ki mehnat qubool farma. Ya Allah, assist and help the mujahideen of Islam. Assist and help the mujahideen of Islam. My beloved Allah, remove the difficulties, the hardship, the pain, the suffering of the Palestinian Muslims. Ya Allah, assist them and help them. Ya Allah, unki madad farma, nusrat farma. Ya Allah, un par jo mazalim ho rahe hai, zalimon ko hidayat nasib farma. Ya Allah, agar unke muqaddar mein hidayat nahi hai, to usko khatam farma, barbaad farma. In Iraq, in Chechnya, Bosnia, Kashmir, Afghanistan, Sudan, Somalia, all parts of the world, my beloved Allah, wherever injustice, oppression and tyranny is being unleashed upon the Ummah. Ya Allah, give the Zalims Hidayat. But if Hidayat is not in their Muqaddar because of their obstinacy and they made up their minds, they will continue with the persecution and torture of the Ummah. Then, my beloved Allah, shake them like you shook the Aad and the Samud. Shake the ground beneath their feet. Send gale force winds against them. Send flood waters against them. Cause the planes to crash and the ships to sink. Create division and disunity amongst their ranks. Ummat-e-Muslima ko ek bana de, nek bana de. Unke ikhtilafat ko khatam farma de. Rabbana taqabbal minna. Innaka antas samiul alim. Watub alayna. Innaka antat tawwabur rahim. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.